have a Bible, grab it and turn with me to Romans, the letter of Romans, Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13 is where we'll be today. We're continuing in our series, Good News for a Sin-Sick World. Do you know what time it is? If you look at Romans chapter 13, look at verse 11. He says, beside this, you know the time. Look at verse 12. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. Verse 12, put on the armor of light, not darkness, armor of light. Verse 13, let us walk properly as in the daytime. Do you know what time it is? As a young child, I struggled to learn how to tell time using a clock. I remember we were in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, vacation, and my dad was determined to teach me how to tell time on an analog clock. And so I saw those arms, those hands, and he was asking me, what time is it? And we were in my aunt's house, and I ran into the kitchen because I knew on her oven, she had a digitized clock, and I ran in, found what time it is, and I ran out there, and I said, Daddy, it's this time, and he looked at me, and he said, Donald Edward, I want you to use that clock. Do you know what time it is? Lisa has been on tittle time since our first date. I was 3 hours late to our first date. I was trying to do everything right. I cleaned my car out. I'd spit polished. I'd made that baby shine. And then I was coming home to eat a quick bite before we got together. And I slammed my finger in the car door. And then, to make matters worse, I said, well, let me take some medicine, make this feel better. I got so nauseated, I couldn't think about driving. And then, of course, I made her nauseated at the supper when I ordered my food. And so it was a great time. She's been on tittle time ever since then. She absolutely loves it. Do you know what time it is? I may not know how to tell time on a clock. I may be late to things, but I do know what time it is. It's one day nearer to Jesus' return. I want you to think about that today. Wherever you are, it's one day nearer to Jesus' return. This will be over soon. Christ has died. Christ is risen. What's the last? Christ will come again. Do you believe that today? Does it stir your heart? Does it give you encouragement? Every day is one day nearer to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every day is one day nearer to the return of Christ. You ought to write that down. You ought to memorize it. Every morning you ought to get up and say, today could be the day. Every night when you go to bed, you can say, tomorrow could be the day. Every day is nearer to the return of Christ. Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3, he's talking about the return of Christ, and he says, God is not slow. God doesn't work on tittle time. Boy, I can tell you stories of how I know God doesn't work on tittle time. Amen? But Peter says, God's return, the return of Jesus Christ, is sure and certain. And he says in verse 11, he says, so what kind of people should we be? That's what I want us to ask ourselves. What kind of people should we be, since every day is one day nearer to the return of Christ? Look at Romans chapter 13. Look at verse 11. Look at what Paul says. Listen to what he says. Besides this, you know the time, the hour has come for you to wake up from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed. Salvation is nearer to us than we first believed. So what kind of people should we be? Three things today. Be awakened, be waiting, and be working. Be awakened, be waiting, and be working. Let's look and see what we mean by that. Paul says the first, be awakened. He says, you know the hour. It's time to wake up. Our spiritual alarm clock should be sounding, should be rousing us from sleep, to hear God speaking into our hearts in this day, in this moment. And so let's think for a moment. Look at what Paul says. He says, for salvation is nearer. What is Paul talking about? You say, Donald, it doesn't say anything necessarily about the return of Christ. For salvation is nearer than we first believe. Paul says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 23, he says, not only creation, but we ourselves, every believer, every son or daughter of God who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly, wait as we wait the eager adoption, as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. That's what we're waiting on. When Jesus fully and finally saves us and rescues us, when he comes again. So I want to give you five things about the return of Christ really quickly. Number one, he will come bodily. He will come bodily. Acts 1:11. The angel said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go. It wasn't fulfilled at Pentecost. He doesn't return just spiritually. He will come as he went. He will come bodily. He will come personally. Jesus himself said in John chapter 14 to his disciples, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. It's emphatic. It's his word on the matter. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel. He will come visibly. Matthew 24:30, then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man. Then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Revelation chapter 1, John on the island of Patmos says, behold, he is coming. He is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. His return will not be similar to his birth. Every eye will see him, those who love him and those who have opposed him. He will come suddenly. He will come suddenly. Jesus says in Matthew 24, but concerning the day of the hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. As in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. They were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. They weren't looking. Verse 40, two men will be in the field. One will be taken, one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have left his house to be broken into. Therefore, you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. No one knows the hour, therefore be ready. He will come triumphantly. He will come bodily. He will come personally. He will come visibly. He will come unexpectedly. He will come triumphantly. Matthew 24, again, he will appear the heaven, the sign of the Son of Man. Then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with great power and glory. He will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call. But then my favorite, Revelation chapter 19, John says, then I saw heaven opened. Behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. Faithful and True because he is who he said he was, and he does what he says he will do. He is the long-awaited king coming to reign. He judges and makes war. His eyes are like the flame of fire. On his head, many diadems. He has a name written no one knows but himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, the name by which he is called, the Word of God. The armies of heaven arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were falling on him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, which is to strike down the nations. He will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress on the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. The long-awaited king will come to reign. So we look back to Romans chapter 13. Paul says, you know the time. You know the hour. Jesus' return should stir us from inactivity. He said it's not the time to sleep. He's telling them, you've gotten lethargic. You've become forgetful. Let me ask you, during these days of quarantine, have you set your Bible aside? Maybe right now, even though if you were in God's house on Sunday morning, you would be focused in, you would be tuned in to what God was saying, what God was doing in this moment. But right now, you're finding it difficult to focus because maybe of the problems on Facebook. Do not become forgetful in these days. Do not become complacent. Are we still praying fervently for Christ to come again? Are we looking up at the heavens excited that he's coming back, or have we become complacent? The word complacent means a self-satisfaction, especially when accompanied by unawareness of actual dangers or deficiencies. We've become unaware of where our spiritual lives are, of what we're doing, of the condition of our hearts. Paul says it's time. Do you know what time it is? It's time to wake up. Be awakened. So how should we live, knowing that every day is one day nearer to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? Be waiting. Be waiting. Look back to Romans chapter 13. Look at what Paul says next. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. The night is, it's coming to an end. Every day is a day nearer. So let us cast off, he says, because the night is over and the day is coming, cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Notice two movement, to take something off and to put something on. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12, he says, do not be conformed any longer. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Jesus has saved us. He has saved us from the penalty of our sins, that death no longer is a threat to us. We're not enslaved to the fear of death. And we are being saved from the power of sin. Sin no longer has authority over our life. Sin doesn't rule and reign in our hearts, but Jesus does. And so that's what Jesus is saving us from. So Paul says, because of that, don't be conformed. Don't match your life to the pattern of the world, but be transformed so that you can know what God's will, not your will, but God's will. Jesus is sanctifying us. Jesus loves us just the way we are. Just this morning, I heard an old sermon of a pastor that on Friday he died unexpectedly. He was on a gun range. Some say he took his own life. He had made some mistake and shipwrecked his life and had to leave the church that he started and planted. I heard this man who was coming back. He says, you don't have to pretend where you are because God loves you where you are. You don't have to pretend where you are spiritually. You don't have to pretend that you're a super saint, that you're always praying, that you're always studying, because God loves you right where you are today. But Jesus doesn't want to leave you there. So, look back what Paul says. He says, the night is over, the day is at hand, so let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. What do you do every morning? Well, what did you do every morning before quarantine? You would get up in the morning, and if you're a morning shower person, you'd take a shower, and then you'd put on clothes for the day. Now, I realize with quarantine, every day just kind of blurs together, and today is Blur's Day. It's not Sunday, it's not Monday, it's Blur's Day, because they've all blurred together. And so maybe there's days that you stay, like my son does, in your jammies all day. But most days, before the quarantine, you get up and you take off those night clothes and you'd put on clothes that you were going to wear that day. Well, that's what Paul's telling them. We prepare for the coming day. The past is over. We're preparing for that return, because every day is nearer to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what does that mean? We need to, by cleaning up and then by dressing up, by cleaning up, we're no longer governed by the angel of darkness, but we're governed by the Prince of Light. Colossians 3, Paul mentions numerous things: sexual morality, impurity, passion, evil desire, idolatry. But maybe you look at those and go, well, I don't struggle with passions. That's just a soap opera that I used to watch. But listen to what else he says. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk. Is there any bitterness in your life? Are you constantly putting people down around you, or are you building them up? Or are you trying to bless God on Sundays, but then the rest of the time you say whatever comes into your mouth? James says it ought not to be so. So we need to dress up. Paul says, put on the armor of light. He expands on that in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 8. Write that down. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 8. Paul says, but since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Did you hear that unchained melody of faith, hope, and love? Faith, hope, and love. The fundamental Christian virtues. Paul says, cover those vital organs, your heart, your lungs. Without them, you can't live. You can't even breathe. He says, cover those vital organs with faith in God. Trusting God day by day that God is who he says he is. That Jesus is the Son of God, the Son of Man, sent into the world to die for our sins and rose again, trusting that Jesus is interceding for us day by day. He's praying for us to get through this coronavirus. And he says, put on love, to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. What does that look like today? And to love one another. Here's a great opportunity to love our neighbors. And then he says, put on hope. Guard your mind with the hope of salvation. What is he talking about? Our expectant hope that every day is nearer. Every day is nearer to the return of Christ. That's what we're hoping for, that it's not an empty hope, it's an expectant hope. That Christ will return. And Christ will save us from this madness and mess. While we may get knocked around in life, these three can shield us from the blows. So we need to clean up, and then we need to dress up. In 386, Augustine was a teacher, a professor of rhetoric in Milan. He was far from home, from North Africa, and he was sitting in the backyard of a friend, Alypius, and he was weeping. He was upset. Why was he upset? Because he knew that his life was a wreck, that he had made terrible mistakes, that he had given in to lust and sensuality, and that he needed to turn from it. There was like that empty pig pen that the prodigal got stuck in. He knew he needed to turn away, but he wasn't quite ready. And so he sat in Lippius' backyard, and he was upset. But he heard a child. He couldn't tell if it was a boy or a girl. And he heard, "Tolege, tolege, take up and read. Take up and read." And so he didn't know what else to do but to pick up his friend's Bible. And it was open to Romans chapter 13, and he read these words: "Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies or drunkenness, not in sexual immorality or sensuality, not in quarreling or jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh, nor gratify its desires. Augustine determined in that moment, no further would I read, nor had I any need. Instantly, at the end of this sentence, a clear light flooded into my heart, and all the darkness of doubt vanished away. Let me ask you, is that you? Are you struggling with doubt and discouragement today? Then take up and read, and be awakened, and be waiting. And last, be working. Be working. Jesus said to his disciples in Luke 19, he said, a nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then return. So Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place, I will come again. And verse 13, he says, calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 minas. And he said to them, engage in business until I come. Another translation says, occupy until I come. It could be any day. We don't know the hour. We don't know the moment. What if it were today? What if it were after the end of this message? What if it were before this message is even over? Are you ready? Are you awake? Are you waiting? Are you working? Paul says, the night is far gone. The day is at hand. Salvation is near. Why is every day nearer to the return? Paul says the major events have happened. Christ has died. He has been buried. And he has risen again. He has ascended to the Father. And he has sent his promised Holy Spirit. The only thing left on the calendar is for Jesus to come. The brother of Jesus said, James says, James chapter 5, he says the judge is standing at the door. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, the Lord is near. He's coming. So, he says in verse 13, walk properly. Kenneth Taylor translates in the Living Bible, he says, don't waste your time. Don't waste your life. So what should we do? We need to look up. We need to look up to Jesus. We need to look into our spiritual family, to our brothers and sisters, and we need to look out to others around us, to look up, just like Peter when he was walking on the water, when he was looking at Jesus and not the waves, not the problems surrounding him. When he was looking at Jesus, what was he doing? He was walking on the water, the only person to do that. We need to, Paul says in verse 14, we need to say no to the flesh. And we need to say yes to Jesus every time. Have you read your New Morning Mercies for today? Paul Tripp gives some great direction and advice in that regard. We need to say no to the flesh. And we need to say yes to Jesus today. Then we need to look into our brothers and sisters. I want to give a shout out to the Cat Small Group. I got a picture last night of them doing a socially distant picnic on a driveway. Now that's what I'm talking about. Looking into your brothers and sisters. It's so easy in these days to say, I don't do Zoom. I don't need to go to that men's gathering, that girl's night. I don't need that. Let me tell you, you may not need it, but your brothers and sisters need to see you. They need to hear you praying. They need to hear you reading because we haven't seen one another. So maybe you need to gather your small group together on somebody's driveway. You know, I bet if you were to ask Ross and Kim or Greg or Gretchen or Rose or Terry, to ask any of them that were there last night, if they didn't get in their car, if they didn't go to sleep more encouraged, we need to look in. We need to call our brothers and sisters. We need to send them a message. We need to check on one another. And then we need to look out to our neighbors, to those around us. You know, this morning I started my day in Acts chapter 7. And Stephen was looking up into heaven and he says, I saw Jesus. And they didn't like that, so they got ready and they stoned him. And then it says, Luke just tells us, he says, and there was a young man there named Saul who was holding their coats. Now imagine if Stephen reacted differently than he did. Stephen imitated. He imitated Jesus. And Saul saw that. It must have made an impact on Saul's life. Every day, people are looking and listening to us. And I want to tell you, I want to admit that I've struggled with that in these days. I've had to deal with customer service on different times, and I haven't done well. And it's hard. But we need to think to those around us. So how can we take courage from our Lord's return? We need to be awake. It's time to throw off complacency, slothfulness, to take up and to read, to be waiting. That there are some things that in these days of quarantine, isolation, we need to remove from our life. There are some virtues, faith, hope, and love that we need to put in our life. And we need to be working. We need to be doing the Master's business until He comes. Because every day is nearer to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see verse 14? Paul is making a declaration. Jesus Christ is Lord. Can you say that right now in the feed? Can you just type that as a declaration? Jesus Christ is Lord. When you're struggling with doubt and confusion, when you're feeling uncertain, Jesus Christ is Lord. When you're worried about tomorrow, Jesus Christ is Lord. When you're worried about your family and you can't sleep at night, rest your head on this confession. Jesus Christ is Lord. And He's coming any day. Robbie Robbins was an Air Force officer, flew a jet in the first Iraq War. He had flown 300 missions and they told his crew, "Hey guys, it's time for you to go home." They left that very moment. They flew across the waters, landed in Massachusetts, and then he had a long drive to western Pennsylvania. But when his buddies dropped him off in the middle of the night, early morning, dropped him off in his driveway, when their headlights flooded the house, he saw a bright yellow banner that said, "Welcome home, Daddy." He was shocked. He walked into his house, and he couldn't believe it, but there were his kids. They were getting ready to go to school, and they were excited. "Daddy!" His wife comes walking down the hall, all dressed up, all fixed up, in a bright yellow dress. And she looks at him and says, "Welcome home, honey." And Robbie looked at his family and said, "How did you know? How did you know?" "We didn't. We knew once the war was over, once we knew the war was over, that you would try and surprise us. And so we wanted to be ready. We knew you'd be home one of these days. So we were ready every day. We knew you'd be home one of these days. So we were ready every day." Folks, the war is over. It is finished. The night is gone and the day is at hand. We must be ready every day. Are you ready? Do you know what time it is? Every day of this mess is one day nearer to His return. Will we be ready? For some, it may be time to wake up. You've been putting off a decision to turn and trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. Do it today. For others, your world has lulled you to sleep. Apart from the typical routines of going to the store or coming here, like an alarm on your phone, will you hit the snooze? Will you hang up the wake-up call from God's Word? While you're waiting in isolation, God wants to refine you and remove some baggage you've been carrying around too long. Sin, shame, regrets, bitterness, anxiety, guilt, disappointment. He wants to bring some new productive gospel-giving rhythms, solitude, prayer, Bible reading, friendship. What if He comes this afternoon? Will the Master find you busy or just bored?